Welcome to Tori Mecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yechezkel Perek Tet Zayin, Chapter 16. The perek starts off in a very harsh tone. Ben Adam, Hoda et Yerushalayim et Tovata. Son of man, we are going to now tell Yerushalayim about all of the disgraceful and abominable things that they have done. We are going to now explore the origin story of Bnei Israel expressed as a mashal, as a parable. If you remember, last parak, we also talked about a mashal. In chapter 15, we talked about the mashal of the vine, the parable of the vine that has no grapes, that has no purpose. This mashal is going to follow the pattern of the last parak in the sense that it is a mashal, it is a parable, it is a metaphor, but it is a very different kind of metaphor. First of all, it is much longer. It's 63 psukim as opposed to 8, and is also much, much harsher. It's actually listed as one of the harshest parakim of Tanakh. Now we know this because in the Mishnah and Megillah, the Tanaim are discussing different parakim of Tanakh, whether they can be read as a haftorah. And there are three prakim of Nach that are considered to perhaps not use as a haftorah. One is Shmuel Bet, Perak Yud Gimel, chapter 13 of Shmuel Bet. And that is the story of David and Amnon. And the reason why it's considered not to be used as a haftorah is because perhaps people would misunderstand what David did. It needs a lot of explanation. It's not just something that you should read and listen to. The second perak that's discussed as perhaps not being used as a haftorah is also from Yechezkel, and that is chapter 1, the Maase Merkava that we discussed. And again, the reason why it's not supposed to be used as a haftorah is because it's something that's hidden and happens to be that Rabbi Yehuda says, no, but you can use it as a haftorah. And at that point, Rabbi Eliezer says, and Perek Tet Vav of Yechezkel, which is known as the Perek that begins with Hoda et Yerushalayim, tell Yerushalayim, this perek should not be used as a haftorah. And this is the only perek that's described in this way as not appropriate for being read because of how it speaks about Bnei Israel, because it is so derogatory of Bnei Israel. And that just is a hint of what is going to be explored in this parak. The beginning of this parak is extremely sad. The mashal begins with a baby, and the baby is the child of an Amori father and a Chiti mother, meaning this is a non-Jewish baby, and the baby is abandoned, thrown into the field right after the baby is born. The baby is not cleaned, it's not cared for, and the baby is sitting there wallowing in its own blood with no one to nurture it. And it's clear that the baby is just going to die. A newborn can't survive like that. Obviously, with no parents, this is a child that's been rejected by her own parents. And then suddenly, there's a savior. A passerby comes and sees the baby. And in our nimshal, of course, the baby is Bnei Israel, and the passerby is Hashem. And we come to two very, very famous and beautiful psukim that we actually know from the Haggadah, from the Pesach ceremony. And the psukim read, Ve'evor alayich, and I pass by you, Ve'ereich, and I saw you mitboseset bidamayich, I saw you wallowing in your blood, Ve'omar lach, bidamayich chayi. Ve'omar lach, bidamayich chayi. I said to you, to this baby, I, the passerby, looked at this newborn that was not going to survive. And I said to you, no, you will survive. You are going to live in your blood. And we know the famous interpretation that this is two bloods, the blood of Pesach and the blood of Mila. In the Mashal, it's the blood of birth. And the passerby looks at this baby and says, Rivava ketzemach hasadeh nitatich. You are going to multiply and I will help you multiply. Vatarbi vategadli. You're going to grow. You're going to increase. Vatavoi ba'adei adayim. And you're going to become excellent. You're going to grow up. You are not going to just be an abandoned child. You are going to be a wonderful person. And this passerby, who is Hashem, doesn't stop at saving this child's life, but he raises her. He helps her become beautiful. He helps her achieve her potential, and eventually he marries her. As the psukim say, "Ve'eshvalach va'avo b'brit otach," I gave you legitimacy and respectability. I made a covenant with you, Ne'um Hashem, v'tehili, and you are mine. I washed you. I took all the blood away from you. V'achasich v'shem, and I anointed you. And you hear from these psukim the language of Har Sinai, from Shmot Perikot Tet, from chapter 19 of Shmot, where Hashem says, "Listen to me, Bnei Israel. Shamartim et briti. Keep my covenant. V'hayitem li segula mikol ha'amim. You will be my treasure amongst all of the nations. Atem to you li mamlecha kohanim v'goy kadosh. You are going to be to me a nation of priests and a holy nation." And Bnei Israel say, "Yes, na'aseh v'nishma. We will do everything that Hashem tells us to do." And this husband takes his beautiful bride, one that he really saved her life, and he gives her jewelry, gold, silver, embroidered clothing. She is no longer an abandoned child with no past and no future. But rather, Vayetzelach Shem Bagoyim, her name becomes famous amongst the nation. Biyafliyich Kalilhu, she is perfect in her beauty. Hadari asher samti alayach, and all the adornments that I gave on her, Ne'um Hashem. She is a respectable woman who has a beloved husband at her side who cares about her, respects her, and adorns her. Her name is known in the world. She is perfection. Hashem's glory and majesty is seen through her. It is here in Pasuk Tet Vav that the parak changes. In the next section of the parak, the word zona, prostitute, is used 18 times as Bnei Israel, this woman, rejects her husband, Hashem, and throws herself at every man who passes by. The psukim detail over and over the complete rejection the woman has for her husband and how she debases herself over and over. Each pasuk is terrible to read. Each one details the horror of the new lows that this woman, Bnei Israel, uncovers. Even the first pasuk of this section, Pasuk Tet Vav, describes how Bnei Israel's sin undoes so much of the good of the journey that she has with her husband. Vativtachi biyafyech, vatizni al shmech, vatashbechi et taznunayech, that al kol over lo yehi. And Hashem says to Bnei Israel, "You trusted in your beauty and you used it to become a prostitute because you were famous, because people knew about you, and you poured out your zanut to anyone who would come and pass by. You just gave yourself away." Instead of what we heard about Hashem passing over her, when it says, "E'avor alech ve'er'ech, I pass by you and saw you in your blood, wallowing in your blood, and I saved you." Now she gives herself to Kol Overla, everyone who passes by. Instead of her name being known and renowned amongst the world for her beauty, she uses her beauty in her prostitution. Instead of having a renowned name, she has a defiled name. And the psukim detail how she uses the gifts that her husband gave her to help her in her prostitution. And here the metaphor wobbles a little bit and the real sin intrudes as Yechezkel describes how she uses the gold and silver to create idols and the children that she bore with her husband to sacrifice to idolatry. It's so clear that the metaphor of adultery means and explains how Bnei Israel are doing idolatry. And you can hear the terrible hurt in Hashem's voice as he says in Pasuk Tet Kaf Bet, "Et kol tovotayich v'taznu tayich lo zachart et yemeinu urayich v'yot irom v'erya mitboseset b'damayich hayid." With all of the abominations and all these prostitutions that you're doing, all these horrible things that you worship, all these idols, you worship other gods that aren't even real, you don't remember when you were lost and naked and abandoned and you were wallowing in your blood. You don't remember the days of your youth. You don't remember how I saved you. How could you go and worship these other gods? Hashem looks at her and he sees in Pasuk Lamed, "Ha'isha ha'mina efet." I see this adulterous woman, tachat isha, she was a wife. She used to be a woman that was my wife, but now she commits adultery instead of her husband. She takes strangers. Why are you rejecting me? Says Hashem. I'm your beloved husband. All I did for you was good. Why are you taking these strangers into our marriage? Why are you looking to other gods? Why do you look to other nations? Why do you want to copy them? And then Hashem addresses Bnei Yisrael, this husband addresses his wife and tells her what his response will be, what will be her punishment. B'chein zona, says Hashem. Okay, prostitute. Shem idzavar Hashem. Pasuk lamedchet. V'shavtaych mishpatei no'afot. V'shofechet dam. V'netatayich dam chema v'kina'a. In one of the harshest psukim in this parak, Hashem turns to Bnei Yisrael and says, I'm going to judge you as a woman who is adulterous and one who sheds blood, and I'm going to bring back to you the blood of wrath and jealousy. It started with blood, and it's going to end with blood. V'netati otam bi'adam, v'harsu gabeich, v'netatsu rimotayich, v'yishitu otach bigadayich, v'lachu klei tfarteich, v'hinuchach irum be'erya. All of these people that you once loved, they're going to scorn you. All these other nations that you tried to be like, you tried to copy them, you tried to take your god, their gods, you prostituted yourself with them, they're all now going to attack you. And you are going to become once again scorned and naked, as you had been in the beginning of this parak. Dr. Tova Genzel, in her book on Yechezkel, quotes Dr. Ishai Rosenzvi, who notes that in Pasuk Lamed Chet, v'shaftitayach mishpatei no'afot v'shafchot dam, where you are going to be judged for your adultery and your murder, he notes that Yechezkel brings together in this Pasuk the three sins that are Yahari v'al Yavor, the three worst sins in the Torah that you have to die instead of doing them, adultery, murder, and idolatry, to create a sin so severe that it justifies such a severe punishment. As he writes, a sin that has no parallel justifies a punishment without precedent. And the punishment is exceedingly harsh. Burnt cities, destroyed land, complete desolation. In this family drama, Yechezkel compares Bnei Israel to two other destroyed nations, Shomron, the 10 tribes, and Sodom, calling them both her sisters and saying that she's actually worse than both of them. Pasuk after pasuk details how terrible Bnei Israel acted towards Hashem, and pasuk after pasuk details their ultimate demise, finally concluding with pasuk nuntet, Kiko amar Hashem Elokim, Asiti otach, Kasher asit, I am doing towards you like you did, asher bazit Allah lahafer brit, that you broke your vow and you broke the covenant. And Yechezkel has to detail this punishment for them to realize that the Horban is really going to happen and it is really going to be bad. And they also have to know, which is a theme in Yechezkel, that the Horban is not a result of randomness. The Horban is a result of their sins. And Radak speaks about this in this phrase, Ki ko amar Hashem, asiti otach kasher asit. And he says that the word asiti is actually a kriyukativ. It's read one way, but it's written a different way. And in the kativ, in the way that it's written, it says asit otach kasher asit, not asiti otach. You did to yourself what you did. And says the Radak, hakativ omer, at garamt ma she'asiti lach. You caused what I am doing to you. And Professor Yechielti Moskovitz in the Dot Mikveh explains, it's not Hashem who's doing this to you, it's the breed. It is the covenant itself that's asking for itself to be held up. Actions have consequences, both for good and for bad. With this pasuk, the milah hamancha, the leitmotif, the repeating word changes from zonah, when their sins are described, to brit, to covenant, which is going to be mentioned five times in the next four psukim. Hashem doesn't, in this section, dwell on the brit that they broke. That was for the rest of the parak. We're already up to pasuk samach. The last section of this parak deals with Hashem's side of the brit. He is not like them. He does not break his brit. He does not break his promises, and not like a human being. If two people make an agreement and one of them breaks it, then the first person is absolved. They clearly don't have to break an agreement that the other, their partner, is not keeping, if someone decides to sell a house for a sum of money and then the buyer doesn't give the money, so clearly the seller doesn't sell the house. But Hashem isn't like that. Hashem is different. His side of the agreement is not temporary. It is forever. And says Hashem in Pasuk Samach, V'zacharti ani et briti otach, I will remember my covenant with you, b'yameinu urayach, the one I made when you were young, v'hakimoti lach brit olam, and I am going to make this covenant forever. And then again in Pasuk Samach Bet, v'hakimoti ani et briti, I will keep my covenant itach with you, v'yadat ki ani Hashem, and you will know that I am Hashem. This time, Yechezkel's use of the phrase v'yadat ki ani Hashem, and you will know that I am Hashem, one that we've heard over and over describing the punishments, here is not about punishment, but rather about forgiveness. In the last few psukim of this devastating parak, Yechezkel reminds the people of Hashem's eternal love for them. Perhaps this is why he uses the mida keneged mida form that Radak cites and is explained in the Dat Mikra. It is terrible for Hashem to punish Bnei Israel. Despite the horrific things that they did, he still loves them and always will. This is a love that is totally undeserved. And therefore, the way that he expresses it is, the punishment comes not from me. I can't punish you, but from the breach, from the covenant that was broken. You caused your own punishment. We remember, of course, that Yechezkel opened this book with the 30th year, linking his time to the renewed breed of the Sefer Torah in the time of Yoshio. The debt of Bnei Israel to the breed must be paid, but Hashem, the other side, will never absolve his covenant. He will always love the abandoned baby that he washed, cared for, and married. Thank you for learning together, Le'ilu Nishmat Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bas Abraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.